Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At least 42 deaths now blamed on severe storms that swept through the Midwest and South this past weekend. A tornado outbreak impacting 9 states. The White House says it's prepared to assist with recovery efforts.
Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt says President Trump has been actively monitoring the situation, and administration officials are engaged with governors and local officials. But she didn't provide specifics on what help has been given or what the administration is ready to provide. Asked about FEMA and any potential changes to the federal government's response, Leavitt said there are no changes yet, but that doesn't mean there couldn't be in the future.
A judge holds a hearing later today after the Trump administration ignored the court's order to ground deportation flights, including turning planes back that were already in the air this past weekend. The wife of convicted former Senator Robert Menendez of New Jersey is set to stand trial. Jury selection begins tomorrow in the federal bribery and corruption trial of Nadine Menendez, who's facing similar charges as her husband. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anytime at the WISS website at WISS.FM. For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. In Wisconsin, spring is noted not only by warmer temperatures and more greenery, but also by the return of road work. U.S. Highway 10 at Interstate 41 is scheduled to close for 7 months starting in April. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation says the work is part of a project to remove and replace concrete pavement adjacent to bridges in a 4-mile stretch of the interstate in Menasha, Fox Crossing, and Appleton areas. Check 511wi.gov for detailed information. Two groups, Peaceful Patriots and Indivisible Winnebago, held protests in Oshkosh prior to the Lincoln Day dinner attended by Republican leaders in the area. The protests were to express dissatisfaction with the actions taken in the first few months of the Trump administration. Danny Shearle with Peaceful Patriots.
We're out here displaying our disdain for what is happening right now in the White House, what's happening with, like, Elon Musk, who's not an elected official, and we're just saying, hey, we're out here and people care.
Peaceful Patriots is also the group that protests regularly at the Opera House Square in Oshkosh every Saturday. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development, or DWD, has announced a new record high 3,053,300 total non-farm jobs in the state. That's according to January's preliminary estimates from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. Construction sector jobs increased by 700. That's 3,900 above a year ago. Preliminary employment estimates for January showed Wisconsin's seasonally adjusted unemployment rate ticked up to 3.2%, which is still 0.8 percentage points below the national unemployment rate of 4%. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.FM.
The Bucks get rolled by the Thunder. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks fell behind early and lost to one of the top teams in the NBA, the Thunder. The final score, 121-105. How did the Thunder control the game? Doc Rivers.
They were so much more physical. They definitely came in with intentions tonight and played that way. They played great tonight.
Men's college basketball, the Badgers drew the number 3 seed. They open the NCAA tournament this Thursday in Denver at the Ball Arena, home of the Denver Nuggets. They'll play the number 14 seed, Montana Grizzlies. Marquette is going to the dance again, headed to Cleveland to face New Mexico Friday night.
Excited to be here, happy to be here, and just, you know, excited to see our name called, because it's not particularly, like, common for a score or player or group of guys to go to the tournament for 4 years. We've actually, like, did the percentage research, and it's like the chance of going to the tournament 4 straight years is like 0.1%.
That's Marquette guard Stevie Mitchell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly sunny and breezy today, with winds whipping out of the south, gusting up to 40 miles per hour. It's creating a high fire danger, and it's also pushing us to highs at about 50 degrees. Then tomorrow, we become mostly cloudy, staying mild, with the storm system sitting on our back doorstep. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 48.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be a little tricky. So here at WISS, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WISS.fm and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you've got an event to share, hit us up. Email info at WISS.fm. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Hopefully your St. Patrick's headache has gone away. We'll be discussing top broadband officials exiting the U.S. Department of Commerce, what it means for broadband in Wisconsin. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
Welcome, everybody. Happy St. Patrick's Day to one and all. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I want to give a big thanks to my first two guests for today, Jeff Kazak from the Irish Fest School of Music. You can find out more at irishfestschoolofmusic.com, as well as Corey Webster from the Irish Heritage Center in Milwaukee. Remember, you can find out more at IHCH, the Irish Heritage. Yeah, that's what it is. We'll have the correct website for both of those organizations in our show notes for today. But everybody, I was really excited to share some of my Irish history and invite all of you to do the same. So many of us here in Wisconsin do have some Irish background of some such. If you would like to share some of that, or if you've traveled to Ireland and have a particularly memorable experience that you would like to share with us, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Please do join us. We got a texter from the 715 enjoying the show this afternoon. Thank you so much. Texting in on the WAUK text line. Remember, if you download the Civic Media app, you can call or text with just the push of one button. But I was very fortunate growing up to have a mom that was particularly interested in the genealogy in our family trees. I think in part because I am an only child. So without siblings, I think there was a bit of added urgency to know more about our family's background. And so I basically interviewed my mom over the weekend to ask her about our genealogy, as well as how she got interested in it. How did she go about doing genealogy, if you will? Of course, these days, you can try to hit the easy button, right? Like 23andMe, Ancestry.com. I think there's FamilyTree.com. That's certainly one way to go about doing things. But even with that, one of the best ways to find out about your own family background is to talk to your older relatives and your extended family. I think gone by the wayside are those things like big family reunions. I know some folks still do them. Seems to be harder and harder to do that these days. But listen, if you have a big family reunion every few years, get your phone out, hit record, and go ask your great-grandma, or your great-aunt on what. Sit down and ask them stories about their background, about what they may know, about their grandparents. Those oral traditions, those oral histories, are one of your greatest sources of information about your family. And you can then, of course, support and go deeper with source documents and all of that. Again, I'm going to share you a little bit of my family's background, Irish background. I invite you to do the same. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. So my Irish ancestry comes predominantly, or nearly exclusively, we think, from my mom's side of the family. Again, she was the one that did all the genealogy digging. And on that side of the family, there are two great-great-great-grandfathers that came to the United States from Ireland. So in case anybody is doing the math on Maggie Dawn's ancestry, the math is I'm about an eighth Irish. So my grandmother was half Irish. Her dad was full Irish. My mom, a quarter Irish. I am therefore an eighth Irish. I am a Wisconsin mutt, if you will. I mean that with love and respect. I'm also German and Polish and Serbian. And we think maybe a little Alsatian French, all kinds of fun stuff going on there. But my mom, I think, spent a lot of time and care around our Irish genealogy because that was some of the oral history that her family knew. So getting back to that, we had two different men in our family tree that came over and really started my family's beginnings in the United States. Both of them coming over before the potato famine got really bad, but in that same, like, basically build up to the peak. Now, interestingly enough, both of them came over before Ellis Island. So the first branch of my family, my great-great-great-grandfather, his name was John Hayes. And we think, a little uncertain as the year, we're thinking around like 1835 he came over. And he did not, again, go through Ellis Island, which was not yet open. We think he came through before it was like officially opened, which happened a couple of years later, but they had started to process some immigrants coming over through a place called Convent Garden. Convent Garden. This was the precursor to Ellis Island. So no, not everybody came through Ellis Island. And then my other family tree stem is a guy by the name of Hugh Hickey. So both the Hayeses and the Hickeys in my family were the Irish branches of my family. Now, John Hayes, again, we think came from County Cork, and Hugh Hickey came from County Meath, north of Dublin. County Cork and sort of the more western, central, southernish area of the country. So very fascinating, very interesting background. And on the Hickey side, we believe they may have settled and landed in both New Richmond, Wisconsin, and then on the Hayes side in Cumberland, Wisconsin. So I say I'm native, born and raised Milwaukeean, and I am, but also these original branches of my family coming and settling in different places. Brian from Milwaukee, happy St. Patrick's Day to you, sir. What would you like to comment on or share this afternoon?
Thank you. Yeah. Even though my name is Brian, I'm not Irish, but I think everyone's Irish on St. Paddy's Day.
100%.
One of the great memories I have is when I was a kid in 95, I was at my grandmother's house, and she had a VHS of Riverdance. And it was the first time I've seen it, and I had never seen anything like before. And that weekend, I probably watched that VHS tape probably like 20 times. And before I left her house, she's like, "So you're going to bust a move?" And I'm like, "What do you mean?" "Well, you've seen that video enough that you should know how to do it by now."
it's fun to even fake it, you know. Gets you going.
And one of the greatest joys I had was right before COVID, they had their 25th anniversary world tour going on, but COVID hit. And they had to cancel all of their Wisconsin appearances. Mm. But what they did instead was they recorded the 25th anniversary at Point Theater in Dublin, where it all started. And they re-released that in cinemas the weekend of St. Paddy's Day in the U.S. And you could actually buy tickets to go see this recording of the 25th anniversary production on a certain day, I think it was St. Patty's Day in like 2020, and I went with like five friends of mine to the AMC at Mayfair to see this on the big screen. And it was just kind of cool because it was like the history of Riverdance, but it was also the show with new music. They came out with a new soundtrack. They completely redid the score, new costumes, new set, new everything. And I just love that after 35 years, that show is still going strong and how they just keep evolving that show. And it has a wonderful storyline, you know.
Well, thanks so much for calling, Brian, and thank you for sharing your story of hearing Irish music and Irish dance for the first time. It is, first of all, going to Riverdance because they mic the floors is you will hear that it like from the back of your chest down to the toes on your feet. It really rocks. Now, my connection to Riverdance is if you've been listening since the beginning of the show, and don't worry if you missed the start of the show, you can always check that out at civicmedia.us/shows. All of our old shows you can find there, also on Spotify and Apple Pods. Here's my connection to Riverdance. If you heard me at the beginning of the show talking about going to Irish fiddle lessons with this then yet soon to be, she wasn't quite yet world famous, but a now world famous Irish fiddler by the name of Eileen Ivers. She taught, I think, a week's worth of group classes out of UWM, and I went to those. Eileen Ivers first became famous. She had her own group, but then she became the featured fiddler for Riverdance. You may have, in fact, seen her, Brian, from Milwaukee, because she is famous for her electric violin that is blue. It is really cool. I actually got to play on her famous blue electric violin when I was taking classes with her. And certainly the couple of times that I saw Riverdance here in the States, she was playing, and it was such a treat to see her. I even got to speak with her once and say, hey, you're not going to remember me. I was a 14-year-old kid back then, but you taught me some Irish fiddling. It was very, very special for me. One of the interesting things about my Irish ancestry is how closely it tracks American Irish history, right? Those two gentlemen, my great-great-great-grandfathers, both were farmers in Ireland, and likely when they came here, we think that Hugh Hickey continued to farm. He may have raised some sheep here in Wisconsin, and John Hayes, we believe, did some farming, but also became a laborer. And we were talking about that with Corey Webster of the Irish Heritage Center here in the Milwaukee area, that the Irish here in the United States often did many of the jobs that no one else would do. So that certainly was borne out in my own family tree. I'm going to share a little bit more of my mom's tips on uncovering some genealogy, some sources that are around Wisconsin that you may want to check out as we continue this celebration of St. Patrick's Day here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Keep it locked right here. You want to share a story? Please do. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone. We'll be back with more in just a moment right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Mino and the Mayor.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Eyezervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Eyezervay gets GA. ain't going slower.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A Wisconsin judge has affirmed that Canadian oil giant Enbridge must pause construction on its Line 5 pipeline while a legal challenge plays out. Conservation groups are suing to block state permits that would allow the company to clear trees, dig trenches, and fill wetlands in northern Wisconsin, all to make way for a new 41-mile section of the pipeline that carries Canadian crude oil to refineries in Ontario. Republicans and Democrats in Wisconsin coming together to support livestock grazing on our farms. State lawmakers introduced the Transition to Grazing Bill that will help our farmers improve soil, water quality, and livestock health by getting dairy cows and other animals out of the barns and out grazing on grass in the spring and summertime. For a deep dive into environmental issues and what you can do to protect Wisconsin's water, air, and land, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Fox Valley's Real News and Great Conversation, WISS.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I might have introduced myself before as Maggie Hayes and The Maggie Hayes Show. That is because in my family's genealogy, the Hayes family did come to the United States and eventually Wisconsin from Ireland. So I thought that would be a bit of fun to introduce myself to each and every one of you this afternoon. Again, that Hayes family coming through New York, landing in New York in and around 1835, as best we can tell. And I think I called it Convent Garden. That's incorrect. The place that they came through is a place called Castle Garden. This was a place for processing immigrants before Ellis Island was opened. It was called Castle Garden. And I have this quote from Harper's Weekly back in 1882 that I think speaks in a lot of ways to the Irish immigrant experience during that time. And the potato famine didn't really hit until the 1840s. So both on my Hayes and Hickey sides of the family, they came before that. And by the way, just a note on the potato famine, as Corey Webster from the Irish Cultural Heritage Center in Milwaukee pointed out, the reason that people were starving to death in Ireland during the potato famine is that no one owned their own land. They all were tenants, and they were all required to turn over what they grew to their British lords that owned the land that they were permitted to lease and farm. So at the time, Ireland was an exporter of its foodstuffs to Britain. And the only thing that really sustained a lot of working poor Irish folk were potatoes, because the lords and the ladies, the upper classes, didn't want to eat potatoes. So when this fungus came through and wiped out the potato crops, they were left with nothing to eat. They also had no voice in the government. They were considered second class. And the government did nothing in the face of mass starvation. The Irish were also second in number only to the British in terms of the folks that originally colonized the United States. So going back into the 1700s and throughout the 1600s. So they're since the beginning of settlement in these United States, in America, what became the U.S., there were always a number of Irish people. But when people again started starving and came over in overwhelming numbers, starting in the 1840s through the 1850s and so on, that is when the discrimination against Irish became very widespread. It's also worthy of note that often Irish folks and African Americans were pushed into the same neighborhoods. And over time, were effectively Irish and Black folks were often pitted against each other. All of these things repeat multiple times throughout history, right? The most recent immigrant, the biggest wave of immigrants, those are who get looked down upon. Oh, and if we can make the lowest rung on the white immigrant ladder hate the Black or brown person, then we'll try to exploit that to keep them hating each other and not paying attention to the folks that really have the power and money. So I wanted to share this quote from Harper's Weekly. This is from May 27th, 1882. Speaking about Castle Garden, where my Hickey ancestor, my great-great-great-grandfather, Hugh Hickey, came through in the late 1830s, most likely. Here's the quote. "It has always been great enough to enable everybody to understand the position of that poor exile of Erin," meaning the poor that came from Ireland. And then they're going to talk about a specific person. "That exile of Erin who went up to be examined for a teacher in the public schools." So someone applying for a job to be a teacher who's Irish. "And being asked who discovered America was not at all clear. But being asked where the discovered landed, answered with triumphant promptitude, Castle Garden." So a little hard to follow because it's old timey. But what does this say? Hey, the poor person who had come, who was Irish, who came to the United States, wanted to be a public school teacher, applied for the job. They were getting quizzed to make sure they could do the job. They didn't know who discovered America, but when asked where the immigrants landed, they said not Plymouth Rock, but shared of their own experience Castle Garden, the place that they and probably much of their family came through when they immigrated from Ireland. Very, very interesting stuff. The largest ethnic group that came through Castle Garden specifically were Germans, followed next by the Irish, the English, the Swedish, and then Italians and Scottish, etc. Today, about 20% of Americans can trace their ancestry to someone who came through Castle Garden. Think about that. 20% of us can trace our ancestry to someone who came through Castle Garden. We have more in common than you ever may think. When we come back, we're going to talk about an ancient Irish sport, hurling, on this special edition of the Maggie Dawn Show. I am the Maggie Hayes Show on this very beautiful St. Patrick's Day. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back with more talk of the hurling after these brief messages.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt Nair on Air.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Retirement is something that's usually celebrated with parties and congratulations, but in farming, it doesn't quite go like that. There are a few reasons for this. A main one is the question around identity. If you're not a farmer, then who are you? That question typically delays farm transitions or succession planning, and it causes farmers to hold on with control of the operation, in some cases, until the day they die. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report. Along with you on a Friday, farm transition specialist Wesley Tucker joins us. He's from the University of Missouri Extension. He helps farmers maintain their identity after retirement by transitioning them to a role of an advisor. And they might even get a chance to have more fun.
A lot of times the older generation say, hey, I'm just content if you pay me $1 per hour fee to drive the tractor, right? That's what I always enjoyed doing, driving the tractor and disking the fields. And so just let me go do that, or milk the cows or whatever it might be. But yeah, they still stay actively involved with some of those things that they really enjoy. That role of they don't have to have the stress and the dependence of calling all the shots. Farming can actually become more fun for them in that role.
You can listen to the full story with Wesley Tucker about farm transitions and holding on to that farmer identity at MidwestFarmReport.com. Just check out our Facebook page. We'll take a look at our closing markets next.
Loss of appetite, drop in milk production, and dehydration are all key indicators of HPAI, or bird flu. This disease is a threat to cattle health and farmers' bottom line. Help protect your herd and reduce the spread by keeping animals hydrated and eating with BioVet. Bovine Gold Light provides key electrolytes for livestock, and our direct-fed microbial products support digestive health and appetite. Learn more at bile-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Friday from Chicago, markets are mixed. Cash corn down 6 3/4 at 458 and a half. December new crop corn closed down a penny and a quarter at 451 a bushel. Cash soybeans are up a nickel and a quarter at 1016 a bushel. November new crop soybeans are up 6 1/4 cents at 1018 a bushel. July new crop wheat is down a nickel and a quarter at 573 a bushel. Class 3 milk prices are taking a hit. The April milk contract is down 60 cents at 1750 a hundredweight, and the May contract down 44 cents at 1770. Class 3 milk goes to make cheese, which also saw downward pressure today. Barrel cheese down 4 cents, closing at $1.69. The 40-pound block cheese down 6 1/4 at $1.69 1/4. Double A butter closed up a quarter of a cent at $2.34 1/4. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff. Have a good weekend.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly sunny and breezy today, with winds whipping out of the south, gusting up to 40 miles per hour. It's creating a high fire danger, and it's also pushing us to highs at about 50 degrees. Then tomorrow, we become mostly cloudy, staying mild, with the storm system sitting on our back doorstep. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 51 degrees.
National Agriculture Week is here. Let's take a moment to bring attention to and celebrate the important role agriculture plays in our daily lives and that our Wisconsin farms play in feeding communities throughout the United States. This message made possible by local American Family Insurance agent Kyle Lang, offering home, farmland, auto, and life insurance. Visit KyleLangAgency.com to request a quote. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance agent Kyle Lang.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And I'm Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Join us weekday mornings from 6 to 9 on WGBW and WISS, now brought to you by Pickle and Bags.
For your next group outing, visit pickleandbags.com.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all the fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kaye, will discuss the capitulation by Senate Democrats on the continuing resolution. Should AOC primary Chuck Schumer? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Hey, happy St. Patrick's Day to you. My name is Maggie Hayes. You're listening to the Maggie Hayes Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Not really my name is Maggie Dawn, but my family name, being from County Cork, is Hayes. And I'm really excited to bring two people. I'm going to start with you, Ben. He is with the Madison Hurlers team, Ben Cottrell. Turns out your family's also from County Cork.
Yeah, Maggie, I'm born and raised in Cork and been in Madison for the last 7 years. And been playing with Madison Hurling Hailstone or Hurling Club of Madison with those 7 years. And I just want to give a shout out to all my family back in Cork who are listening in and have sent on the show to many family and relations. So big shout to them and up the Rebels.
I love it, Ben. Hello to everyone in County Cork and Ireland and beyond. I hope you tune in every day. I will stop with my terrible Irish accent because now we have a legitimate one. But again, my family also from County Cork in Ireland. I also want to welcome Michaela Kolstock, also playing with the Madison Hurling team. Welcome, Michaela.
Yeah, thank you. Happy to be here.
So let's start with the beginning. What is hurling and how long has it been around? Because this answer is so cool.
Oh, it's been around thousands of years. It even predates Christianity, I believe. So it's a different sort of religion. But in Madison, actually, the hurling and football have been, well, mainly hurling has been in the city of Madison with the last 18 years. It was formed in St. Patrick's Day 2007 by Jason, John, and John Kenny and Bill Jones, who are all listening into the show today as well. So big shout out to those guys for setting it up back 18 years ago today.
Well, to Jason and John Kenny and Bill Jones, happy anniversary to the Madison Hurling team. What a wonderful bit of Irish culture to share, especially here in a place like Wisconsin. Now, is the Madison Hurling Club like the Milwaukee Hurlers where it is co-ed? Are you playing both men and women right now?
We do mix it up. We have a league that we have two leagues for indoor that we run over the winter just to keep us all some bit sane and get us out of the house.
Yes.
We have an A and a B league. The B league is co-ed and the A league is for seasoned hurlers. So we're able to mix and match between the two. But in the last couple of years, and Michaela will lean on this a bit more, we've started seeing great numbers growing our Camogie team, and it really has blossomed over the last couple of years. Just a shout out on the hurling side of it, I think we have about 4 or 5 national championships in hurling, which is very big for a club in the Midwest. We often go to tournaments and play teams from Boston, San Francisco, a lot of like a hurling team in Madison, Wisconsin. It's crazy. So
yeah, they're like, where is that? Why are you better at this than we are? And that's pretty much. It's the good Irish in Wisconsin. I love it. Michaela, so what is Camogie? Is it the same as hurling, but for women? Tell us more.
Yeah, so they are essentially the same sport. Back in the good old days, I guess you could say, there were some slightly different rules, but now the two sports are very well aligned. So for many of us ladies, we do a lot of the developmental co-ed, as Benji had mentioned. And just this year, new to 2025, we now have enough ladies to form an official Camogie team. We will be competing as Madison Camogie at tournaments this summer and at nationals, hopefully.
That's wonderful. Congratulations on that. I played rugby in college. And so very much, and we won a national championship and had the same experience that you all are describing when we would go to tournaments. First of all, no one knew who we were. And second of all, we were playing these well-established, well-stocked teams basically from the coasts, right? Like that was the deal. So you have a lot of respect and empathy from me over these airwaves. Again, this is an ancient, ancient game. Can you tell us, Ben, the basics? So we got to talk about what a hurley is and what the slitter is, because everybody's going, what's a hurley and what's a slitter right now? So do tell, Ben.
Yeah, well, what I have here for those listening on the radio is not much use, but I have I stole this hurley from my son who's 9 months and has it.
So your 9 month old son has a hurley already. Am I getting this straight? Yeah.
He's a late starter.
late starter.
Would have hoped
okay.
for sooner. But, so it's a stick made of ash or else a fiberglass equivalent over here in the US. And it's kind of shaped like a flat spoon or a spatula. And you play it like you play lacrosse across, but a lot less gear. You only have a helmet. And the focus of it is there's two teams, like in soccer. And then we have uprights over the bar. So you score by two ways, by getting it into the goal, like in soccer, or like a field goal in Gaelic or in American football. And it's a very good physical game. By the look of it, it doesn't seem that there's too many rules. Though when you beat it down, there's an awful lot. So you can't throw the ball. You have to hand pass or you have to hit the ball off your hurley. And you can only take four steps, and otherwise you're balancing on it like an egg and spoon. So
yeah, I wanna just tell people, I'm gonna give folks. Ooh, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see Ben balance the slitter on the hurley. So here's what these things are. The hurley is the stick that you use to whack the ball, which is also called a slitter. A hurley is shorter than a baseball bat, weighs less than a baseball bat, and has a flat end that is about, I don't know, 5 inches wide, mm-hmm. maybe.
Yeah.
I'm sure they don't measure it in inches, however. It's got a flat face. And so the slitter, then the ball, is approximately the size of a baseball, but has massive seams on it, really big seams, outer seams, external seams. So as Ben said, you score by either smacking the slitter with your hurley through the uprights, okay, mm-hmm. or by slapping the slitter with your hurley into the net. Those are the two ways that you score. You can pass the slitter, but again, the important rule is if you're holding the slitter, you can only take 4 steps with it before you have to throw it up and bounce it on your hurley. Now,
yeah.
As a, at least, former has-been athlete, Michaela, I want to ask you, because I have a bunch of friends that play in the Milwaukee Hurling Club, and they dragged me out to some games, and because they knew I played rugby, they're like, Maggie, you should be able to do this. Come on, you used to play softball. So I tried to throw the slitter and hit it with the hurley, which I could do, but it went about like 3 feet and went bloop. And then I tried to run and throw the slitter up and balance it slash bounce it on my hurley and looked like I had never played a single sport in my entire life. Were you a longtime hurling player? How did you get involved with this? And how did you... These are very specific skills. And oh, by the way, folks... Like batters who are switch hitters in baseball, if you're a hurling player, you got to be able to smack the slitter both right-handed and left-handed. And by the way, it's sort of like a half chop, half swing. Correct anything I've gotten wrong, but I wanted to paint people a vibrant picture of pretty much how challenging this is.
Yeah, I've only been playing for about 4 years now. I came in with a softball background. And luckily, you know, transitioning into camogie was relatively okay, mainly because I tried football first, and then one of our camogie gals, that camogie is her heart and soul, Allie Kenny, shout out to Allie Kenny, she instantly grabbed me and was like, you're pretty athletic, we're gonna have you try this sport too. And so our camogie recruitment has been very much, hey, you're playing football, why not try to play camogie as well. So it's, I would say last year was probably like my holy cow, it all makes sense now year.
Yes.
And so, I mean, I'm always constantly improving. I can attest that it's such a fun sport. I would say that you don't really even necessarily have to have any like major skill, especially as ladies coming in, as long as you're willing to try and to have fun with it. And to give it your all, we're going to make sure that you get right where you need to be and you'll fit right in.
It is a good time sport, much like rugby, much like Gaelic football. Like, there's a great camaraderie, great respect for anybody that plays. So, like, if you're randomly in Ireland and somebody figures out that you're a hurler, they'd be like, "Oh, hey, buddy, like, come hang out." Which I love about this sort of category of sports, folks. If you're just joining us, I got two very special guests today, both from the Madison Hurling Club, Ben Cottrell with family listening in County Cork. Hello to all of you and happy St. Patrick's Day, as well as Michaela Colstock, both of them playing with the Madison Hurling Club. Michaela now on a fully sided Camogie team, which is women's hurling. I forgot this analogy. If folks are listening and you know what a field hockey stick looks like, it kind of looks a little bit like that. The hurley does. I wanted to ask you, Ben, was this a family inherited tradition? Did your dad, was he a hurler? Was there an uncle? Did your mom hurl? And I don't mean hurl, I mean hurling. Did she play some hurling? Yeah. How does one, unless you get recruited by Michaela because she sees you playing flag football or softball or something, how do you get sucked into the hurling culture and family?
It's very easy. It's very hard to avoid back in Ireland. My family played hurling. My father, my uncles played. My granduncles and grandfather played as well. And my sisters and cousins played. So really, it's kind of like basketball equivalent over here. Just growing up, you just play around. That's why I said, I was kind of half joking, half serious, that my son, who's 9 months, he's a late bloomer, because usually at home, as soon as you're around the place, a ball's thrown at you. But over here, how we're recruiting for men's is a lot of word of mouth, or when we're out and about, people sees us, or on our Facebook page as well. And we're always looking to get more and more both men and women to play our games.
Okay, so Michaela, if folks listening want to find out more about either the men's or women's hurling teams and the Hurling Club in Madison, where do they go to find that info?
Yeah, so you can find us on Facebook and or Instagram at Madison Hailstones GAA. You can directly DM or comment on a post. We are actively watching our social medias. We also are doing, and Ben, you'll have to potentially remind me what date it is, but we are taking over a Madison Forward game, and we'll be doing a halftime demonstration, which is another great way to come and kind of see what we do, especially if you're like, oh, like I've heard of this and I've watched videos and it looks scary and intimidating and I would like to see it in person or talk to people in person about it. That's an awesome opportunity to come chat with us.
Mm-hmm. Anything you want to correct there? Did we get the dates right, or the date right for that event, Ben?
I believe so. And I do just want to convey kind of anyone who does come and wants to start learning. We have an awful lot of good teachers within our club, those who've played the game in Ireland, though some who've been playing hurling for the last 18 years in the US. And it's probably easier for them to teach someone than it is, say myself. But yeah, anyone who'd like to come along, we're always doing demonstrations and trying to get people comfortable. We'll be training outdoors in the next couple of weeks on Thursday nights in U Bay for the men's from around 6 p.m. onwards. And yeah, we're always willing to take on more people, and there's a good social side too, which is very important.
I can't believe it. We are already out of time, everybody. Ben, shout out your family in County Cork.
Hey, Mom. Hey, Dad. How is it going?
Michaela, who would you like to say hello to on this fine St. Patrick's Day?
Oh, goodness. I would probably just give a shout out to all of the team members that are watching. Yeah, if anybody's interested, come hang out with us at Gaelic Football or Camogie and Hurling. We're always having a good time.
A big thanks to Ben Cottrell and Michaela Colstock of the Madison Hurling Club. Have a wonderful St. Patrick's Day to both of you. I hope to see you on the pitch soon. We'll be back with my final thoughts on this beautiful holiday. I finally cracked a Guinness, everybody. Woohoo! Happy St. Patrick's Day. Back with more in just a moment, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
Olson Legal Group is a local veteran-owned company with offices in Oshkosh and Berlin. It's always the right time to make an estate plan, and Olson Legal Group covers all your bases. From wills, trust, and non-probate transfers to powers of attorney for financial and health care, Olson Legal Group will ensure your wishes are honored and your loved ones are cared for. Plan today for peace of mind tomorrow. Call Olson Legal Group today at 920-230-7020 or olsonlegalgroup.com.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Ready. While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Top craft pick creators include Fifth Ward Brewing Company in Oshkosh, New Denmark Brewing, Duck Creek Distillery and Winery in Denmark, and Captain's Walk Winery in Green Bay. Vote for your favorite now by logging on WISS.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick. When you vote, you'll enter a random drawing to win $250 in gift cards from participating craft creators. Don't wait. Voting ends Friday, April 18th. Log on WISS.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick and vote right now. Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick, drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of the Todd Allball Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Big thanks to my last two special guests, Ben Cottrell and Michaela Kohlstock of the Madison Hurlers, sharing some of an ancient Gaelic sport called hurling with all of us. It is a bunch of fun to watch. I have a number of friends that play on the Milwaukee hurling team, and it is a hangout. It is a damn good time. It is a fun sport to watch. You definitely want to check it out wherever you may be. Big thanks to all of them, and happy St. Patrick's Day to each and every one of you. And yeah, we took a little break from politics. Don't worry, I'll be back tomorrow to talk about politics again. There'll be plenty to talk about, you know, like the Alien Enemies Act that's only ever been invoked when we've actually had a declared war, you know, things like that. We'll talk all about it tomorrow. We've got Diane from Madison texting in. She wanted to know a little bit more of some of the resources and places that my mom went when she started to look into our family's genealogy. I shared in this hour that I have two branches of my family on my mother's side that come from Ireland, the Hayeses and the Hickeys. The Hickeys from County Meath, north of Dublin, and the Hayeses primarily from County Cork. And yes, you can always start with 23andMe and FamilyTree.com and Ancestry and figure out what your blood tells folks about where you may be from. But primarily, my mom really used oral histories to get an idea of where to look. So by talking to her mother, some of her older aunts, she really established and wrote down a significant amount of our family's story. Where did they come into the country? For example, Hugh Hickey came through Canada. He didn't come directly to the United States. But the next place to go and look at are basically all of your vital records. So birth certificates, death certificates, marriage certificates. But also military records. These are really helpful. The National Archives here in the United States. You can also look for land deeds. If you know your family moved to a particular place, you know that there was some land in your family, call up that county's register of deeds. Ask, hey, are there any deeds in this name from this decade or a couple of decades with this last name on them? Now, not every county register of deeds has their documents in electronic form. Not all of them are searchable in electronic form. So my mom did a lot of traveling to places to actually go through documents to look on microfiche. My gosh, I'm dating myself. Yeah, actually getting out the old marriage and death certificates and looking at stuff in microfiche. The other big category of documents that can be very helpful if you are interested in your family's genealogy are naturalization records. Back when my ancestors came here, the United States basically was like, if you show up, we'll eventually make you a citizen and we'll naturalize you. My ancestors did eventually have to apply for it. And they were before even the Ellis Island period of time. There was actually like more process involved in the from like the early 1800s through about the 1850s. There's less process. You just needed to be here for a certain amount of time, document that you were here, and you would become naturalized as a citizen. But those naturalization records with the National Archives, again, military records with the National Archives, or you can contact the specific branch of the military that you think your ancestor may have served in. Other than governments, churches, synagogues, or other places of worship that your family that you know may have worshiped there, they often will have a record of a marriage, for example, or a birth. And also, my mom did contact, and she did this via snail mail back in the day. Via snail mail, she contacted a lot of churches and a number of government agencies in Ireland by writing them, hey, do you have records related to this family with this surname and first name, and looking at it that way. Here in the United States, the Church of Latter-day Saints, Mormons, have really, I mean, they are like the genealogists here, both in Salt Lake City, but I believe the Church of Latter-day Saints also has a genealogical library here in Milwaukee, So that's another thing to check out. So again, writing to churches or places of worship, writing to the government agencies, visiting, going there, National Archives. You can also write to cemeteries, see if they have a particular record of who is interned there. That can help a lot if you're trying to find out where an ancestor may have been buried. One of the challenges that my mother ran into was that some of our family's records were lost or destroyed because of the famine. This is often one of the stumbling blocks you'll run into. If you are interested in this stuff, my mom's biggest piece of advice was to go take a class on genealogy and sit down and talk to your elders. Sit and talk with people. It's the best source of your own family history. Because on today, we're all Irish. So my best St. Patrick's Day wishes to all of you and yours and your families, wherever you come from. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But always remember, it's better when we stand together as Americans, as immigrants, as Irish, German, Polish, Venezuelan, Mexican, Puerto Rican, Dominican, wherever you are from, let's stand together. Have a good one.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
Mino and the Mayor.
On Tuesday's show, I'll be joined by Vanessa Moran from Feed My Starving Children. She'll fill in while the mayor is on vacation. Plus, we'll welcome Dan Brick from Brickstead Farms and Beth Kowalski from the Neville Public Museum. Join us.
Hi, Chef Grunder. Let's dive right into the machine shed. Fridays here mean all you care to have fried or broiled North Atlantic cod, or try our bone-in seasoned catfish lightly fried. More of a salmon lover? Choose between the machine shed's white wine sauce or apple bourbon glaze. Our sautéed savory shrimp will satisfy your taste buds with Old Bay seasoning and Asiago cheese. All great choices. Join us this Friday or every Friday for seafood worth savoring at the shed.
Fox River Drive, Appleton.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is WISS Berlin-Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein-Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and a week after Ukraine agreed to a U.S. proposal on a 30-day ceasefire with Russia, President Trump and Russia's leader scheduled to hold a phone call tomorrow. ABC's James Longman is in Kyiv and says Vladimir Putin, though, has already expressed concerns over the terms.
He has said he doesn't believe in ceasefires. He wants to negotiate the whole deal up until the end of the fighting, and only then will he agree. But he has envisaged huge parts of Ukraine to be as part of Russia. I mean, he's written into the Constitution two regions, Kherson and Zaporizhia.
President Trump visiting the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts today. It's his first visit since he removed members of the board and named himself chair. He told the board he plans to use some of the money from the trade tariffs to make improvements to the nation's capital and the Arts Center. At least 42 deaths being blamed on the string of volatile storms since Friday, with tornadoes tearing across nine states. And stocks ending up a bit today on news. Retail sales were up slightly last month. This is ABC News.